Very few messages do I preach that doesn't have Acts chapter 2 in it. There's some things they just set on the table. Salt and pepper is almost always there. It seems like it just goes with any meal. In Acts chapter 2, it seems like it just goes with everything God wants us to know. Hallelujah. Don't get tired of salt and pepper. Don't get tired of Acts chapter 2. Praise God. I'm going to be all over Acts chapter 2 probably. I'm going to read one verse, three verses, maybe four or five, I don't know. And then you can be seated, and I may read some more. I want to start with Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter is preaching and said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." This is one of the most awesome scriptures that you will ever find anywhere. I want you to really look and discern that scripture for just a moment with me. Peter said, "Let all the house of Israel," the house of Israel were the ones who had this commandment, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." They did not believe in Jesus because they said he claimed that he was God. And they knew there was only one Jehovah. Peter said, "Know assuredly that God hath made," Jehovah has made, "the Lord, the one Lord has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." The Lord has made Jesus himself and Savior. So actually what he is saying, the Lord is the Lord and Savior. It's just that simple. It's almost like a simple algebra problem. My, what a solution. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.' And with many other words did he testify, exhort, saying, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.' Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You may be seated. Sometimes we focus on Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And when we're talking to people about the word of the Lord and salvation, we rush into a couple of things and we try to get to baptism in a hurry. Now that's okay. Don't be nervous. We got to do that. And then sometimes we rush up. They need the Holy Ghost right now. That's fine too. Acts chapter 8, they received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized, but they still had to be baptized. You got to get it all in the package. But sometimes We go past repentance like it's a yield sign. But I've got a feeling that in the scripture, it's meant to have a stop sign. You need to stop right here and take care of repentance, because if you can take care of repentance, you're going to have a good life with Jesus Christ. If you don't get repentance right, there's a lot of other things not going to go right. We all need to repent. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost. Well, you probably sometimes still need to repent. I do sometimes. Sometimes we think we know what we really don't know. I thought I knew what speed it was until these lights came on behind me. And for a moment I thought, maybe I don't know what the speed is. And I pulled over and I thought, well, isn't this a coincidence? And I started laughing. I thought it was something. I don't know why this is. I have this little unique thing that happens sometimes. Something can really not be pleasant, but I think it's funny, and I start laughing, and I can't stop laughing. And people around me want to know why I'm laughing, and I can't stop laughing. And it's not. And so the taps on the window, roll your window down, and I'm laughing, and it wasn't funny. And I roll the window down, and he's just standing there, doesn't say a word, and I'm laughing, and I think, oh, my goodness, I'm in trouble. I'm going to be laughing all the way to jail. Finally, he said, what are you laughing about? I said, well, and I started laughing again. I said, I was going to explain to you that I knew how fast I was going and I knew what the speed limit was. But here you pull me over, and where I'm stopped, I can't even argue because there's the speed limit sign. And so he started laughing, and I laughed, and he laughed. And he said, go on, get out of here. And here I was repenting because I realized I was wrong. And so I really was repenting. I remember one night, sometimes we have late board meetings, and I live about 130 miles from the campground and district offices. And it's exhausting. Man, they just wear me out. And it was on one of these nights, and I thought, I'm not going to spend the night here. I want to get home, be with my family. And I was so tired. And here I'm going, and I look behind me, and there's those lights. And so I'm repenting. I'm sorry. I don't always say I didn't mean to, because I want to be honest. But I do say I'm sorry. And I do say I shouldn't have. And so the officer pulled over behind me, and I'm on the side of the road repenting. And he comes up to the window, and I'm not laughing this time. I'm repenting, and I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. And he rolls down the window. He said, your driver's license, please. I pull out my wallet, and I give him the driver's license, and I'm repenting. And he's not saying one word, and I'm praying in my heart, Lord, I don't want a ticket. I'm sorry. I don't want my insurance to go up. I'm sorry. He's not saying anything. He's just looking at me. So I look back at the steering wheel, and I'm waiting, and nothing happens. I look back. He's just staring at me, and I look back. Are you tired? Yes, sir, I'm tired. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be tired. I'm sorry. Sir, would you go down the road and pull over to the station and get some rest? Do you know why I pulled you over? I said, no, sir. I don't know how fast I'm going. I'm sorry. And he said, you were swerving a little bit. I thought, oh, he's going to ask me if I've been drinking. I've never had a drink in my life. He said, sir, I want you to just go take a rest. You're tired. I'm sorry. Thank you. He said, all of the years I've been a state trooper, you're the very first one. When I asked for their ID and driver's license, that they handed me an American Express card. He said, go get some rest. You know, sometimes we just need to repent. And if we will, God will take care of the situations. He's just waiting, standing there. Are you going to repent? Are you going to turn away from sin? Are you going to submit to my instructions? And he just stands there with his open arms waiting for us to repent. You know, I'm going to go over to the beginning, just same chapter, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, somebody say they. Sounds good. We all have the same accent. That's a good thing. They were all with one accord in one place. They were. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. Everybody on the day of Pentecost that's in the upper room, we're all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all, somebody say all, every one of them, filled with the Holy Ghost, all, and began to speak with other tongues, all, as the Spirit gave them all the utterance. It happened to every one of them. But the reason was because they were together in one place. If I could get us together in one place today, potentially we could have a Pentecost. But I've got some of you at the tax office right now. Your body's here, but man, oh yeah. Somebody's already cranking up the truck for tomorrow. You already know what you got to do. You've got your list. You're going over in your mind what you got to do in the morning. You got to gas up, get that truck going. You've got to get your route together. And you're sitting here on a pew, but I believe when they were up in that upper room, I don't think Peter was out there with the nets. Those boys weren't in the boats. They had their mind on one thing, and that was being together. They had their mind on one thing, and that was being unified. Nothing else was important. They had all things coming. You know, we're probably online, and this is not to intimidate anybody, but wow, I wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. I love people. But if you can go to Walmart, and weather through that, and people bumping on the side of you trying to get their buggy past your buggy, and I went to Walmart the other day, and I didn't even know they had those arrows saying go this way. I thought everybody was going the wrong way down that aisle. And they all were, except me. And you can go through all of that, but you can't come to the house of the Lord. Let me tell you, this is probably the safest place you can be. And we want to keep it a safe place. But we've got to be together. Some people choose and pick their services. You know, we've got to be together. I need some help. I need probably about three healthy guys, young men. Thought I was going to have to get girls. Okay. Okay. Come up here and help me a little bit. Why don't these guys look good, girls? Let's get in a row like this right here. Yeah, keep your ties on. Yeah. I saw you, and I like that, and that's all right. There's some people here probably used to run 10, 15 years ago. I don't know if they can't or won't anymore, but maybe both. So you're pretty athletically inclined, aren't you? Okay. Modest. Just stand here for just a second. We've got to have the same priorities. I'm going to turn over here to the book of Ephesians. I feel like the Lord is giving us something here today. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord just left, and one of the most important documents that you'll ever leave behind is your will. It's so powerful that whatever you want, that's what they're going to do. I would like to believe that's the way it is with the Lord, but he left his will. And here's what he gave to the church, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now then, I would like for everybody to stand up that's perfect. A lot of you were trying to get up. Well, it looks like you're the only three. Oh, you're not. You're just standing up. Okay. Okay, you're all right. This is how God speaks to the church. So evidently, if we're not perfect, we need the ministry. Are we not aware that words speak louder through actions than print? Aren't we aware that a picture is worth a thousand words? Why is it then, when God gives us men of God as an example, that we cannot observe how to live, where to go, what to wear, how to act? Does the pastor have to just sit down and write it out and explain everything? Are we not able to observe? Because we're all supposed to be together. And if you go down to Acts about verse 41, they had all things coming. But if I've got a philosophy and you've got a philosophy and you've got a philosophy and you, well, I'm going to do this because brother so-and-so, he prays 4 hours a day, and if anybody's going to make it, he is, and he goes to that place. Well, I know this sister, and she reads through her Bible 4 times a year. If anybody's going to make it, she is, and she wears this or that. Combs her hair this way and whatever. That's not who God gave us as an example. There's power. Power of God, power of revelation, power of deliverance, power of healing, power of promise. When the body comes together in unity and we don't have all of our little philosophies and things. And then I look at my life and I think, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore, because I don't want to break the unity of the body. That's more important for me to raise my family and see my children in victory than it is for me to do something that satisfies my own agenda. Because when we get that kind of spirit, I just want to be right with God. I just want to follow my leader. Do you know? Do you know who your authority is? You're afraid to answer. Because you've got double jeopardy. Your pastor is your father. That's double authority. Do you know that? Oh, I don't have to ask. You know. Do you know who you're? Spiritual authority is? How's God going to talk to you? He can? Yeah? Mm-hmm. So how's God going to perfect you? Let me go back and read the book. You hadn't read the book yet. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Thank you for letting, don't get mad at me. I needed somebody to pick on. Does that kind of make it a little clearer? Yeah, it does. So why did God give us a pastor? There's another thing to it. He's going to answer for your soul. It would be well for us, the ones that God has given us to help us, to perfect us, if we would pay attention a little bit, not only to what is spoken, not only to what is written, but through observance. For the sake of a church to have unity. Because when a church has got a unity, a sound comes from heaven. When a church is in one place, one accord, with unity, following the man of God, observing where he goes, what he does, everything about him, if we can understand, well, why does he believe that? Well, why does he not do this? If we would just observe a little bit, it would bring us in a unity to where tongues like as a fire would fall up not only 60% of us, 70% of us, 80%, 90%, honey, it fall on 100% at the same time. And when we leave the house of God, it would be a multitude out there affected by the fire, affected by the unity of the church, and nothing can stop a church in unity. Don't think it's strange that you're feeling pretty good. The kids come by. Oh, we're happy. Everything's fine. It's church time. But then 30 minutes before church time, here comes Saint Migraine. Isn't it amazing that Saint Migraine shows up 30 minutes before church every time? Getting dressed for church. An apostle reflux shows up. It's amazing. All the laughing's coming from older people. I don't think the young ones know what I'm talking about. Life's real. Well, I'm just going to tell you, you may be one of the younger ones, but it's amazing. There's something shows up in your life just before church time. And that's when company comes. And that's, if we could realize that the devil wants to do everything he can to keep the church from being all together in one place and in unity, no wonder there's so much sickness, there's so many nerve problems, there's so many situations, personality problems, everything in the world, because the devil is breaking the unity of the church and the devil is keeping us apart. The pandemic has been a thing from the devil from the very beginning. We need to rise up and realize we're the church. We're the body of Christ. It's important that we're together in one place, worshiping God, believing God for great things, and that there's nothing in my life. Oh, well, this is just a little thing. Don't even have a little thing that separates the unity. It's not worth it. You're going to have children. You're going to have grandchildren. It's not worth it. You can be seated. The reason for this, verse 14, is that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, carried about by the sleight of men, carried about by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. All these different feelings, attitudes, ideas, and philosophies are a deceiving program of the devil to break the unity of the church. Because the devil is scared to death of when the church is in unity. Everybody's heard of Texas A&M. They had some kids went down the road, and they were, it's Friday night, it's dark, they weren't paying attention. Sign said bridge out. They didn't see the sign, they just kept going. They hit the ravine, threw one boy out, cut his arm off. They had Cokes and ice in the chest. They grabbed that ice, put his arm in there, kept it cold. And they said, well, we don't want to go to the hospital. We'll have to call our parents, so let's just go to the college, to that infirmary, see if they can help. So they went there. And they sewed the arm back on, and somebody asked him later, said, well, how's it working? He said, pretty good. That really didn't happen. But when you're missing, I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're this thumb in the body, but I can tell you that thumb's important. I don't know if you're this little finger. I don't know if you're this little toe. I don't know if you're this giant leg. I don't know what you are. You may be the face of the church. But when you're not here, I saw you running, dancing. Okay. I'm going to ask you to do it, but not with this leg. This leg's out. It's not there. It's gone. There you go. All right. You know what? This is gone too, because this one don't like the preacher, and it stayed home today. Okay. It's mad at somebody. So that's not at church. That was not at church. And this one stayed up fellowshipping last night too late and couldn't get to church, so it's out. So here's the body. Come on, it's time to dance. Let's dance. We're at church. Oh, man, don't you look a mess. And when you're not there, that's what the church is doing. It's trying to be 100%, but part of the body's not here. Part of the body's over there. And some of the other in cold storage somewhere, hoping somebody will help get it hooked back on, and hope it's hooked on the right direction. But God wants the church. He said, you're my body. He doesn't want his body dissected, and he doesn't want part in cold storage on Sunday morning over here, and in cold storage on Wednesday night somewhere else, another part of it, and he's got limbs missing and the church trying to function. I wish I could get this across to us. So the devil's got this deal designed. He wants us to be like children. You know, she just left out with a baby. We got a new grandbaby in the family, number 18. Number 19 will be here in a few days. I don't know who's got 18, 19 coming. Somebody make it 20. So thank God for revival. Grow a church. But God spoke through his apostle and said the reason he wanted us to have the perfecting of the saints and the reason he wanted us to be submit back to your authority, Do you know when you're tested whether or not you're under authority or not? When you disagree, your opinion is different than theirs. That's when you realize whether or not you're under authority. Usually it's too late. Sorry to say. I want God to speak to us right now. He said, the reason I've given you these ministries, to bring you unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, is so you will no longer be a child tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Those ideas and philosophies that somebody had an argument and somebody gave you their opinion, all that is the deception of Satan working through somebody to get you to see it different than your pastor. And he said, I've given you this ministry and these ministries so you will no longer be like a child tossed to and fro. Have you ever noticed when a baby starts spitting up? Okay, we got 19 now. I'll take all the spit up you got. But when it first started out and before we had one, I was evangelizing. Everybody wanted me to hold their babies and take a picture. I don't know what it was about me. I have no idea. I don't know if it was the cologne. I don't know if it was God. I don't know what it was. But every time I held one for a picture, when I got through, there was spit up all down my suit to where I just kind of hated to. Oh, bring this one up here. Yeah. Bring him here. Yeah. Let him help me preach a little bit. Just, you know, it's going to happen. I'm not going to shake you very much. Already grabbing for a microphone. He's only 6 months old. And the reason I've got a pastor is so that I will no longer be like a six-month-old. That's what he said, a child. Being tossed to and fro. All it takes is a little bit of spit up, and we run over and say, here, you take it. Okay? About that time, what did I smell? Here, you take him. Oh, yes. And they start crying. And so you say, you take him. Excellent. Couldn't have done better. Give him a hand. And I didn't have to pinch him. But that's the way we are. And so God has given us ministers in our life to perfect us so that we don't have these mess ups in life and spit ups and things that go wrong. But speaking the truth in love that we may grow up in him in all things, which is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly. The Bible said, fitly joined together. This is the body. Okay? Y'all like that? Does that look good? I don't know. We got an inspector here. Hold on. Okay, that's okay. Fitly. Huh. Joined together and compacted. Oh, you come to the same church. We sit there. No, it's got to be more than that. Your passion's got to become my passion. Your pain's got to become my pain.
the person in the back corner over here has got to feel the pain of the one in the front corner over here. We've got to be that kind of church that we're so together in one mind and one spirit. If somebody's missing, we're on. Am I here? And so we got to be fitly joined. And it said compacted. I think some of us might have been fitly joined. We're here, we're associated, but we hadn't got fitly packed enough that we feel the passion of the pastor. We feel the passion of the saints. We feel the passion from the prayer room. But when we get compacted, when we get fitly together and we're compacted, we got all things coming. I don't have my little conviction. You got your little deal. And you look at us, we look like we came from 15 different places. My goodness, we're compacted now. Let's see if we're compacted. That's right. So when you feel it, he feels it all the way on the other side. When one feels it, somebody else feels it back there. When one person starts running, another one starts. When one person starts talking in tongues, you be seated. We're a church that's no more children caught up with all of these little differences. I've got 18 grandchildren, all raised the same faith, all the same family related. We just had 16 we had to keep in our house a day or two. They all, Brother Joel McCoy, they came, dropped four off. The Tuttle said, come pick up two. Sister Shara said, I'm dropping my four off. Time we got through, I think we had 16. She didn't know how to feed them, so she fixed chicken dumplings and just kept adding water. Brother Jonathan was there with his three. Sister McCoy said, can you help? So he went out, and he was helping some of them play basketball, some of them ride tricycles. It looked like a zoo going on. And invariably in the middle of that, being from the same family, believing the same thing, we had three or four little squabbles going on. That's the reason we've got a preacher, is so we don't have this idea and this philosophy and that philosophy, because that's the devil's way to deceive us, to keep revival out of the church. I want to tell you, it does not take 10 years for you to pack this building out. It does not take 10 years to have 100 people receive the Holy Ghost. All it takes is one apostolic experience where the church is in unity. And we've been willing to sacrifice our little idiosyncrasies and say, I'm with pastor, I'm with a church, I'm with a prayer group. Come on, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to fast and pray together. I'm going to witness too. I'm going to tell you, there's a power of apostolic Pentecost like happened on the day of Pentecost that'll happen right now today if we will get our spirit in unity and in submission and let God begin to work through each of us and show our city what he wants to do. You can be seated. I like that, sister. That's so awesome. When we get in unity, there's going to be little women with wheelchairs everywhere needing help. I don't know if you're catching the point. When we get right with God, there's going to be all kind of emergencies and urgencies that's going to happen in your pathway. But do you have the passion to be like Jesus and stop at the well and say, just a moment, can I help you, lady? Can I help change your life? Can I help your need today? When the church is in unity, there's all kind of situations. I've got to, you know, blame it on Brother Tuttle. He introduced me to it. It's a little app called Waze. And I kind of like it. You go down the highway and it'll say, there's a car on the side up ahead. Go a little way and it'll say, there's something else on the side. There's an accident. It'll tell you everything up the road in front of you before you get there. God wants to speak to us and say, slow down. Somebody's on the side of life. Stay slower around this curve of life because somebody's on the side of life and they need somebody. When the church is in unity and we begin to march by the Jericho Road and we see the man in the ditch, there's something about the church. It's got time to stop. It's got time to bless. It's got time to help. When the church is at the restaurant and somebody's almost in tears and you look at them and you see them beyond a servant helping with a meal, but you begin to look and you realize here's a life that's torn. Here's a life that's suffering. Here's a life that's got problems. And God sent me here to eat today because I'm part of a unified church. I'm part of that body. And this part of the body has stepped by here today. Somebody's in need, and there should be a need everywhere in every one of our lives. So the church is working everywhere for that great revival. When we're fitly joined together, and we're compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working. God wants every part of that body to be an effective working part. We got to get the numbness out of our spiritual feet, get the numbness out of our spiritual fingers. You don't know who's the foot, who the fingers, only God knows that. But I know every one of us needs to be reaching out and every one of us needs to be feeling. And we need to be sensing what's happening around us. This is so awesome. This is for the church today. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. When we get in that unity, and we're fitly joined together, and we're compacted together to the point that it has the effectual working in the measure. The next part he said, it maketh increase of the body. I don't know if you heard it or not. When we're in unity, one place, one mind, one accord, fitly joined together. And all of these things that try to keep us out and separate us. We're no longer children, but we're following that faith. And we're going to the house of the Lord. I go to the house of the Lord and I'm weak and I'm tired. And I think, man, I could, oh. It reminds me of this person's home. He said, told his wife, said, I don't think I'm going to church tonight. I'm too tired. She said, you've got to go. Said, that's the only reason you got. You're too tired. Well, I don't feel good. And that's the only reason you've got. Well, I've got one more. Some of the people don't like me. She said, but you've got to go. You're the pastor. So if the pastor's got to go, you got to go. Don't feel good? When you leave,
They'll have to turn the lights out on you because you'll feel so good. You'll want to fellowship everybody in the house. The devil wants to keep you away because here's where healing happens. The devil wants to keep you away because this is where encouragement happens. The devil wants to get you away so you can be tossed to and fro by every idea and philosophy that'll keep you out of the body of Christ. But you got to get up and say, no, I know where my strength lies. I know where my help comes from. I've got to have the Word of God. I've got to have the saints' prayers. I've got to have the faith of the church, and I've got to be connected to the body. An arm can't walk by itself. Don't leave me. And that's how we have revival. It's not by having 10 people on an outreach committee. It's not by having 4 people calling everybody. But it's being fitly joined together, compacted together, unity, because that maketh increase of the body. So when you've got that, the body starts growing. And when the body starts growing, do you realize what's making it grow? It's not just those things together, but there's something else in the middle of it. What makes a family grow? It's in love. Anybody here ever been in love? Oh, my, when you get in love, you lose your appetite. When you get in love, oh, you forget your schedule. When you get in love, that calendar don't mean one thing. I'm in love, honey. I got to get on the telephone and talk to my sweetheart. They can't put their phones down. But when we get in love with Jesus Christ, we're his body. Oh, I wish somebody would get a hold of this and realize what God's trying to say today. God's trying to tell us this building's not big enough. God's trying to tell us that he's got a harvest. I'm talking about this is the harvest church. He's got a harvest out there bigger than you've imagined. He's got a harvest waiting for a unified, together, compacted together church. I wish we would, wherever we are, come and lay everything on the altar. Say, God, here's my attitudes. Lord, here's my differences. Here's this. But I'm going to be unified. I'm going to be compacted with a church. And I'm going to see a revival. And I'm going to do my part. And it ought to be 100% of us. You say, oh, well, you know what? Y'all may not be coming to the altar. Well, come and leave a little difference between you and somebody else. Leah. Little space, not difference. You can get closer. Somebody make a step of faith. Do better than you are. Come up 2 or 3 pews. Do something. Let's take a step of faith. Step of faith, because I'm going to be a part of that body. Wherever I am in life, I'm taking some steps up today because God wants to fill this church. God wants to work the miraculous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to be shoulder to shoulder, but just come on, let's get a little close. That's right. You're doing great. And somebody get a hold of this. Somebody reach into the Spirit. Somebody take a giant step into the Spirit of Jesus Christ right now and say, God, you're the head of my body. Lord, I'm your body, and you're going to work through me. And everywhere you go, somebody gets healed. Everywhere you go, somebody gets edified. Everywhere you go, somebody gets blessed. Everywhere you go, something great happens. And so you're walking in my feet, and you're walking through me, and your hands are in my hands, and your voice is in my voice, and we're going to see the church grow because you're going to march the streets of our city, and you're going to be on our jobs through us. Hallelujah. I wish somebody could see it right now, what God's wanting to do. This is our day to say yes. This is our day to take an extra step. This is our day to take a step of faith. Hallelujah. 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 It's time that we go into a faith moment right now. God's able to do exceeding abundantly more than you can ask or think. Why don't you ask him for something right now? All right, that's good. That was good. That was low level. Now I want you to think out of the box.
Think big. You thought of something? All right, forget that. Think of something bigger now. You want to go bigger than that? Because he said, I can do more than you can ask or think. And he wants to for this church. And he wants to do it through you. God really does not get a lot of glory when he goes and does it by himself. But when he takes somebody like you and uses you, and then you begin to testify of what God did, he gets the glory. And that word passes to another and another, and faith is built throughout the city. And they'll say, come see a man. Come see a church. Come see a body of Christ. Oh, my goodness. Somebody love him. Musicians, come. I just feel something great here right now. Somebody's been living below their privileges. The miraculous wants to move in your lives. The miraculous wants to order your steps and your path. The miraculous wants to work on your job and wherever you go. And when you see calamities, it's because you are needing to minister. There may be somebody here who has never received the Holy Ghost. Just repent of your sins. Say, I'm sorry. Lord, I give it all. I just want you, Lord, more than anything. Fill me with the Holy Ghost like it happened in the Bible. Fill me with the Holy Ghost like it happens here. And you'll begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody pray, somebody worship. God's moving right now.